Welcome down to my 9-foot homemade oak bar. Pour yourself a cold one. You are listening to Bucks in the Basement. My name's Chris, and Craig here is the biggest Pirates fan you'll ever meet. Let's talk Pirates baseball now. Welcome to Bucks in the Basement.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day.
Major injury, I believe, of summer camp. And it's a Pittsburgh Pirates opponent this year because of the interleague play. Byron Buxton went down.
I saw that,
just a few hours ago, going out near the track, somehow collapsed before he got to the wall. So that's what I'm reading. He was heading to the wall.
Yeah, it says it's
started
like
to hurt himself on the way into the wall and then just kind of landed against the wall. So yeah.
Yeah, they're saying like it's maybe like a knee or a ankle or something is what it looked like when they slowed it down. I don't know. I basically saw the cart. I didn't see anything else. Or I'm just going against what the press people can see from, you know, the upper deck.
Right.
With their binoculars.
That's the thing. They can't see very much. You know, I mean, they're just kind of trying to. I've been talking to a couple guys that cover all these teams around the league, and it's very difficult for them. And I told them, I'm like, you're a podcaster now, because they can't just walk up to the guy and talk to him. They have to call the team. They have to get permission. They have to get him on a Zoom call. They got to get him on the phone. They don't get to walk up and talk to him. And the guy who I know was like, one of the guys I know, he works for MLB.com, and he was complaining about it. And I was like, well, you're a podcaster now. This is what you do. You're doing what I do. You have to go find a way to get in contact with people. It's not so easy anymore, is it, without your press pass? Because they're just stuck up in the upper deck or in their press box, and they can't have any contact with anyone, which is amazing to me.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of ripped on one of them, just like jokingly, where like Socrates Brito came back, and they were like, there was like 20 tweets in a row, and I said, here comes the 12 articles that nobody wants to read about Socrates Brito coming back, because that's all they had to write about was Socrates Brito.
That's the thing. It's like there's not a lot of... There's not a lot to talk about. So they're all sitting next to each other. Like, think of that's the other problem. Excuse me. COVID. There's a that's my COVID cough. Now I went out this weekend and I was around people for the first time. And now I'm like, now every time I get like a little itch in my throat, I'm like, COVID. I got COVID. I can't believe I got COVID. I'm so stupid. I got COVID.
I went out.
I went to a backyard party. I was outdoors the entire time. I didn't get right up in anybody's face, but I, like, you know, I've just gotten to the point where I'm like, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I can't hide under the covers anymore. I'm still being responsible. I still walk into a store with a mask on. I still make sure that I don't go near anybody that's at risk. Like I told my parents, I won't see you for a couple of weeks, but I'm going to go to this backyard barbecue. So now every time I get a tickle in my throat, I have COVID.
You're like, who gave it to
me? Who gave me COVID?
Which one are you?
I got the COVID. That's what I've got. So anyway, these guys are all sitting in the same room with each other. It's bad enough that they used to do that during a game. Like if something happens in a game and you look closely at any of the reporters that were in the press box, they almost always are on the same train of thought because they're in there talking about it with each other during the game.
Yeah.
And then they write an article and there's a little piece of each and every one of them in all these articles. Well, now they don't have the ability to go off on their own and go find their own thing. So they're getting all their ideas from each other. So every article is the exact same thing, which is it's maddening because you've been waiting for baseball for so long and they're still doing what they were doing during COVID. They're all writing the same story and it's so difficult to deal with. Like I want to tonight just kind of like break down like our feeling on the schedule, like things that we're looking forward to, like things that we think the team could do, things that we think could happen with the team this year. I don't know what your thoughts are on tonight. But that's where I'm at tonight, bud.
Yeah, just kind of looking at like the schedule and where things could go and the players that could come out and do something, I guess. I don't.
Man, who's your guy? Who right now do you think? Like, who is the guy right now that you're sitting there saying to yourself, I want him to make the 30 man and I want to see what he does? Like, who's that guy right now for Craig Toth of Inside Bucks Basement?
I'm pretty sure it's JT Riddle.
Why? Why is it JT Riddle? He didn't even make my sim season. I didn't even put him on the team.
I honestly think that he's a guy that just hadn't gotten the shot, and I think he's going to be like the... Because there's nobody, dude. That's the bad part is like with the Pirates, we don't have like the Luis Robert, and we don't have, you know, the Carter Kieboom. We don't have that right now. Like right now it's Cole Tucker, and Cole Tucker, I don't really like the guy. I don't think he's that great of a ball
player.
I love
that. That was the best statement ever. Like right now I would love it if somebody said, like, immediately listen to this show and then tweet it out that at Bucks Basement on Twitter just said, Cole Tucker, I don't really like the guy.
Like, here's the thing. So I just...
Like, what did Cole Tucker do to you? And you're like, I don't really like the guy.
As a person, like, he seems like he's a fun, good lover. He's like this guy that's always having fun and always smiling, and it's great to see him play and everything, but it's like... I don't really think he's that great of a ball player. Like, I honestly don't. Craig Toth hates Cole Tucker.
Craig Toth hates him with a fiery passion.
I'm just going to get so much hate. And I swear to God, I'm like the only person like that. I just don't see it with this guy. Him and his brother. And I mean, I wrote an article about both of them because they're both very likable guys. But for me, it was just, they were like the same type of player that, you know, weren't that known. I mean, they were fairly known before the draft started, but then like in their last, like, you know, part of a season leading up to the draft, they like caught fire and all of a sudden move up and get drafted way ahead of like where they were actually projected to go. Like, you know, I think his little brother, Cole's little brother was projected to be like around like, you know, 45 to 50 and gets drafted at like 24 or something by the Indians. Cole Tucker is projected to be around the same spot and the Pirates take him in the first round. And both of them I described as kind of like reaches because they're good defensive minded players. Everybody's looking for Cole Tucker's bat to catch fire, but it's never been his solid point, and he's never really hit above like 260, 265 in the minors. So
let's go through his minor league stats real quick. So we have a basis here. All right.
Okay.
So I'm not gonna look at the very beginning because when the kid's 17 years old, that doesn't matter. I don't care if he was good or if he was bad. So let's just fast forward to 2017. He's 20 years old. He's been in the Pirates system at this point since he was 17. Because he was drafted early. He spent his first year in a golf league in rookie ball at the age of 17 years old.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so he's been in the organization for a long time. In 2017, he's got two places he's at. He's in Bradenton, and he's in Altoona. Between the two of them, he hits a lot better in A-plus ball in Bradenton than he does in Altoona. He's only hitting .257 in Altoona with an OPS of .726. In Bradenton, he had .285. His OPS was not much different. It was only at .790. Now, here's the weird thing that the Pirates do. The next year, he stays in Altoona. That's great. He plays in Altoona, and he only hits .259 in Altoona again. He has 2 years where he basically hits the exact same thing, and he hits for less power. So his power numbers go down. In fact, his slugging went from .408 to .356, and his OPS dropped in Altoona from .766 to .689. But then he goes nuts in the Arizona Fall League. He goes on the Arizona Fall League and he hits .370 with an .899 OPS. And the Pirates send him the AAA and the majors in the next season that he plays in 2019. I think that Cole Tucker was elevated too quickly by a bad general manager and bad scouting staff that has been replaced. And a guy like Ben Cherington should be looking at just that. If you gave Cole Tucker's baseball card from so far in his life with minor league stats, if he goes to Baseball Reference and sits down, and I'm Ben Cherington and I just want a snapshot of every player in my organization, my first instinct would be they elevated this kid too quick. They got excited over about 20 games in an Arizona Fall League and they jumped him way too fast when he had shown no improvement in from half a season in Double A to a full season in Double A, and then they jumped him immediately as quick as they possibly could. Because what? He caught fire for a few games in a fall league. Like that, if I'm Ben Cherington, I'm like, we went too quick on this kid. Maybe he needs more development. He's a young kid, Craig. I mean, you have to admit that.
Oh, yeah,
he's
is,
a
yeah.
young kid. His 22-year-old season was last year. He's only 23. With a little development, maybe he still shows up and he's a part of your franchise going forward, or becomes somebody that somebody else will fall for and trade for. I wouldn't give up on him yet, but he was clearly mishandled in 2019.
No, and that was like my clear thing for him, which I was saying is he just turned, it's his 23-year-old season. He just turned 24, I believe like 8 days ago or something. But it's like, you know, when you start the year on your
right.
20,
so this is his 23-year-old season, but he'll never play baseball as a 23-year-old.
Yeah.
Because of COVID.
Yeah, but pretty much this is his 23-year-old season, but he's actually 24 right. now. And people are saying, oh, he was held back with Neil Huntington's.
He wasn't held back.
Held back?
No.
I'm like, he actually shouldn't have even been up here last year. If it wasn't for Eric Gonzalez and Starling Marte colliding in the outfield and Kevin Newman hurting his finger before he had to come up, then they brought Cole Tucker up. I mean, he wouldn't have even been here. And believe me, like I said, everybody sees this guy. He's this cute guy, this fun guy.
Oh, you think he's cute?
Running around
he's
and good smiling.
Looking. Let me get a picture of him. Let me see what he's
looking like. Let's see what Cole Tucker,
Tucker's looking, working with.
Yeah, he's a good-looking kid.
Oh, he's a
kid.
Fun-loving, long-haired kid is what he is.
Yeah.
Oh, you like the flowing locks. All right.
No, it's just that he's curly fun. Hair. And he's the guy that they picked to be like our MLB The Show representative when they were back doing that, like when COVID first started. Even though he wasn't on the big league roster at that point in time, because he had gotten sent down to AAA.
Right.
He's
got personality. He's got a lot of things going for him. But let's be honest, the kid has never hit better than 260 with an OPS in the mid 700 range above Double A. He's never done it. He's never done anything above double. And those are his Double A numbers. So unless he is, I mean, is he a defensive dynamo? Would you sit there and say, would you sit there and say that I could eat? Because think about it. If he's doing that right now in Double A, we're talking about a guy that's going to probably hit 230 in the majors unless he finds somebody works out something with his swing and his timing, and you don't know if they can do that because he never improved. So would you take him as a 230 to 240 hitter based upon his defense? With his defense, is he worth it at that average? On a team that has no offense, because we learned that. We talked about that. We did that with the simulated season. You could break down the numbers in real life. This team does not have enough offense to be able to carry a defensive specialist right now, because you need to be able to put guys on base and move them along and score them. You don't need two pitcher spots. You don't want the 8 and the 9 spot to be an absolute hole. Now with the offense the Pirates are packing.
No, and that's where the part is like his defense, he's really good and he's really flashy, and he makes what I feel is like he makes the outrageous plays, but I'm not sure if he's good enough to make he did play a decent amount last year, and his outs above average, I believe, was like right around even. Like he was right around like zero. So it wasn't like that in the time that he was there that he was like lighting the world on fire. And he makes two big plays in inter squad games during this past week. And there's people saying make Cole Tucker the starting shortstop. And I'm like, well, where do you put Kevin Newman, who actually hit like over 300? Where do you put Adam Frazier, who was a gold glove caliber second baseman who has actually been in the majors for like three seasons now, where he's consistently hit around like 275? You know what he is. Just to get Cole Tucker in there to play good defense, like, I just don't really get it. Yeah, Newman's a little bit below average defense, but his offensive numbers, if they stick there, have brought him up to the part where he can be an everyday starting shortstop. And it's not like with all these shifts and stuff that you play a legitimate shortstop all the time anyway. So I even looked at it. I think I was trying to use an argument. I used the outs above average, and you can look at it on on whatever it is, StatCast, Baseball Savant. I don't even know what the heck. I go on all kinds of stuff. And you can take it and you can put it as if they're playing from a second base position. So it's like you're the anybody that is seen in the second base spot or what's in that range, you can like separate their outs above average in between those spots. And even at that, I think that I think Kevin Newman was, he was only like a negative two in that spot. He was a negative eight overall. So
if you look at range factor between Frazier, Newman, and Tucker, and you go through Baseball Reference and you flip through and you just eyeball the thing and take a look at it, take out that fall league, that Arizona fall league run when he was a superstar that had him elevated too quickly. Because in that, he was even better defensively than he had ever been. All of his metrics were better defensively and offensively than it had ever been in that Arizona Fall League. I don't know what competition he was running into, if there was something in the water down there, but like that's the best he's ever been in any statistical category. He's basically Kevin Newman defensively in terms of a lot of his metrics. They almost match up exactly. And Frazier is a better shortstop than both of them. So when you look at that kind of a defense, if you just use those numbers, then he doesn't hit as well as Newman, and he doesn't hit as well as Frazier, so he's kind of a lost cause unless he figures something out in the minor leagues, and he's yet to perform even at a triple-A level that would suggest to you that he can do it. So at this point, he's almost a lost prospect unless somebody gets in there and fixes something, right?
But you have so many people pushing for him to be the starting shortstop. You have so many people pushing for him to be making the 26-man roster, and it's almost like I told people that they have prospect syndrome in Pittsburgh because it's always like the next man up. It's almost like backup quarterback syndrome where you're always looking for, well, this guy's not the top level that we need, so we got to look at our next prospect. And I was just like, well, why don't we just enjoy like the some of the good players that we have now? And it's like, well, Adam Frazier's not going to be a part of it, and Newman, as soon as he starts to get good, then we're going to start bringing up Peguero, and we're going to bring up Gonzalez, who we just drafted. And my thing was like, Peguero's sitting down there in Single A, not playing at all this year, who we just got for Starling Marte. What's the guarantee that he's ever even going to sniff the majors? So you got, believe me, I love our prospects, right? And I love...
Well, you love prospects. You love minor league guys. You're a big fan of it. But look, it's the honest truth. Give me 10 prospects that are high-end prospects. I will find you 3 of them that will make it and 7 of them that will not. And it's just like a batting average. If you hit 300 on prospects, you're a good GM. The idea that people get married to prospects and think they're all going to work out, it's just not true. It doesn't happen that way. You're happy. Like, seriously, if you made a trade, let's say the Pirates today made a trade. Let's say the Pirates want to trade Trevor Williams. And they go out and they pick up 3 prospects for him, which is a good haul. Where some team values Trevor Williams so much that you end up with a top 20 MLB pipeline prospect. I know. I'm just trying to make an example here. Yeah. You end up with 2 other guys. One is still in the top 100. And the other one's got all these rave reviews, and within a year after he's in your system, he makes it into the top 100 MLB prospects. You've got 3 guys flushed into your MLB prospect group, overall top 100 in the entire league. If one of them becomes an everyday starter that becomes a really good player, and one of them becomes a utility guy or has a cup of coffee in the majors, it was a good trade.
Yeah.
Because prospects are prospects. There's no way you can hit on all these guys. There's no way you can. That's a successful trade. Look at any of the big trades that have gone on in baseball over the last couple of years where teams trade away massive amounts of players, or they trade one player away to get a bunch of prospects back. Are you telling me that the White Sox on the south side of Chicago right now regret the Chris Sale trade because Michael Kopech opted out this week? No, because they got Yoan Moncada out of it. And they got Moncada out of the deal. And Kopech's like the icing on the cake. And if he never works out, because he already had Tommy John and everything like that, but you have a guy that's going to be your starting third baseman or a starting infielder that's going to hit around 300 every year and put out 25 to 35 home runs and hit in the middle of your order for the next 10 years, That's a brilliant trade that you got while you were in the middle of a rebuild. But they got three prospects in that deal, and you can't even name the third one for me if you tried hard. And that's the amazing thing about this whole thing. When they got that hole open, it's like, oh, all three of these guys could be major leaguers. One of them is right now. Michael Kopech will go into next year as still a prospect because he's had less than 50 innings pitched. And his debut in the majors was in 2018. So that's how these things work. You don't know when a guy's going to hurt himself. You don't know when a guy is not going to work out. You don't know when he gets to a certain level, if he can't handle that level. And Pirates fans have to start to understand you're not going to have every prospect hit. Cole Tucker probably isn't a hit. The only good news I'll give you is that they mismanaged Cole Tucker last year. So maybe if they would have done a better job, he could actually be something that could be of value to you. So I want to see what happens this year if he spends the entire year in the minors. If they keep him in the majors, I guarantee he fails. Guaranteed.
Okay. And I'm glad that we're on like the same wavelength there, you know. Just because I feel like I'm like out on an island on my, not anti-Cole Tucker. Like, it's not, I want the dude to do well. I honestly do. And I still always say, and I want Brian Hayes to do well. And I'll say, these guys are still young. Like, they're still, in my eyes, there's still hope for them, even if they aren't in the majors this year. And everybody's thinking, well, this guy was a first-round draft pick, so he's got a hit. This guy's a first-round draft pick, so he's got a hit. That's not how this works. That's not how this has ever worked. I mean, that's why there's guys that are, I mean, of course, not this year, but there's guys that are those, you know, 12th and 15th and 40th and whatever that end up making it. There's a guys that's, you know, discovered as like a, you know, undrafted free agent. There's all this kind of stuff. It's because sometimes it just doesn't work out for those guys. And it's, that's where like Major League Baseball is. It's so much different. And I think that people always forget that is that they have to go through the process. They're drafted so young that they don't know what like a player is going to be like if they draft them when they're, you know, 17, 18, and God forbid when they're looking at 14 and 15 year old kids to sign them when they're 16 from the, you know, from international, when they're like down in wherever they're down in the Dominican Republic. But you can't just say, well, he's the next man up, so we got to make a spot for him. And that was my only thing, is that what has he done? He had his shot. He was up before Newman was up last year, and Newman outshined him and sent him back down. Adam Frazier was, you know, what Adam Frazier is, which is like a 275 hitter with like 10 home runs and played solid defense. And so it's like, well, why should Cole Tucker, just because you like Cole Tucker and you think he has the potential, like, why should he supplant those guys at either of those positions and push any of those guys out of their positions for any reason until he proves something? And to me, he hasn't proven anything.
Let's talk about drafts, because I want to make your point even clearer to people, okay? I just pulled up randomly. I said, let's do the 2015 Major League Baseball draft first round. I'm going to run down the draftees. You tell me if the person has proven that they are going to be an everyday superstar, if they've proven to you that they're just that's a baseball player, that's a major leaguer, or if you're like, that guy? Who? Because we're going to have some fun with this. All right?
Okay.
All right. The number one overall pick in 2015 was Dansby Swanson. Now, I know that name. Okay?
Yeah.
Arizona picked him up. I would call him an everyday major leaguer, but not a superstar. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, not a superstar.
Not a superstar.
Yeah, he's
But they got an everyday major leaguer. Alex Bregman's a superstar. He goes number two to Houston. Okay? Number three is Brendan Rodgers of the Colorado Rockies. I've been hearing about Brendan Rodgers being the next big thing for Colorado now for the last 3 years. He has made nothing of it. Absolutely nothing of it. They're still trying to find a way to work him into the majors. They bring him up for a month. They send him back down again. He's going to make the team this year because there's a 30-man roster. But before the COVID thing happened, he was a maybe. Okay, if you don't believe me, go and look up like past rankings on CBS Sports for fantasy baseball players. Brendan Rodgers, they weren't even sure if he was going to make it. He was the third overall pick in the draft. How about number four for the Texas Rangers? You ever heard of this guy? Dylan Tate. Who?
Nope.
He was the number four overall pick. Kyle Tucker went to the Astros for number five. People have been clamoring for him forever. The Astros don't want to trade him away. At best, he's an everyday player, right? He doesn't scream superstar to you, right? All right. Number six, the Minnesota Twins select Tyler J. Huh?
No clue.
Okay, Benintendi for the Red Sox goes seven. The White Sox take Carson Fulmer at number 8 overall. Fulmer's out of options, and if he doesn't make the team this year, they're going to have to get rid of him. And common knowledge around the White Sox is that the only reason he makes the team is because they don't want to just release him because he was such a high draft pick. He still hasn't even established he's an everyday major leaguer. They drafted him to be a starter. He's the bottom guy in their bullpen coming out this year on a 30-man roster. That's not impressive at all. He was a number 8 overall pick. Number 9 was the Chicago Cubs with Ian Happ. Now, I've heard about Ian Happ. I also know that Ian Happ was down in the minors more than he was in the majors last year.
Yeah, and they're actually hoping that with Ian Happ, they're actually glad the DH is coming in because they're gonna put Schwarber at DH and he's going to play a little bit of left field. But if it wasn't for that, then I don't know if there would be a spot for him like everyday
doesn't
player.
Even get out of the team. Cornelius Randolph, shortstop, selected by the Philadelphia Phillies. Who? Tyler Stevenson gets drafted by the Cincinnati Reds, the catcher.
He's on the cusp. He could be, I'd say he's a backup catcher.
Josh Naylor, first baseman for the Marlins, goes 12 overall.
I know who he is. I've heard the name before, but Garrett
Whitley, outfielder, goes to the Rays. Kobe Allard, who I think left baseball now, goes to the Braves. Trenton Clark to the Milwaukee Brewers. Anybody know these guys? Here's the number. I'm just going down the order here. James Caprillion goes to the New York Yankees from UCLA, a right-handed pitcher. Never heard of him.
No clue.
Brady Aiken, Cleveland Indians, left-handed pitcher. Phil Brickford, right-handed pitcher, goes to the San Francisco Giants from the College of Southern Nevada as the 18th overall pick. Look at all those misses. No. You want to know who the Pirates took at 19? Kevin Newman. He actually made it. He's actually a major leaguer. Okay?
Yeah.
Pirates got lucky there. Richie Martin goes to the A's. Ash Russell goes to the Royals. Bo Burrows goes to Detroit. Nick Plummer goes to the Cardinals. Then the Dodgers, because they're the Dodgers, pull Walker Buehler out of their ass.
Of course.
At pick number 24. Yeah, everybody passed up on him, including the Pirates. DJ Stewart goes 25 to the Orioles. I don't think he's made it yet. And I think he's like a backup right now if he makes it in there.
Yeah.
And Tyler Ward goes to the Los Angeles Angels. That is your first round in 2015. The compensatory picks, by the way, included our boy, Cabrian Hayes, to the Pirates with the 32nd overall pick. So now here's the thing, folks. That's an awful lot of misses. In my mind, I heard a lot more misses than I heard things worked out. But every single one of those teams, their fan bases were electrified by the possibility of those guys. I guarantee you, they were sitting around in San Francisco and they couldn't stop talking about Phil Brickford. Who? I guarantee you. That there was somebody, some guy wrote an article or a blog or something like that, talking about a guy by the name of Cornelius Randolph. And they were like, this guy's going to be the best. You have to calm down about the prospects. That's what they are. That you don't know what they're going to be. What they are is currency. And if you can trade one before they're exposed as not being a major leaguer because somebody else has hope in them, or if you develop them, it's a win. Everybody else that stays in the minors and never makes it to your major league squad is a loss. They may fill a role. They may have fulfilled a dream to play pro baseball, but it's a loss for your organization. And the idea that all these guys are going to hit is absolutely insane, and people need to start using their brains, okay? There is no guarantee that just because you love the guy and he's on the Pirates list, he's going to be great. Because there are plenty of guys on all these other lists, too, and they didn't make it, and they're not going to make it. Or they're still trying to make it, and their chances get worse and worse every single year. Cole Tucker could very easily be one of those guys.
Yeah, and that's where it kind of sucks, is because the Pirates media department has taken to, you know, putting him, like, when they have, like, those, like, they break down, like, the warm-up video of them playing an inter-squad game. Like, even if Cole Tucker steps on the field for 2 seconds, like, he makes, like, 3/4 of the video. Like, they are trying to push that because it's, like, I think media departments don't understand, like, you have to get an exciting guy, but you also have to get a, like, I'd be pushing the crap out of Josh Bell. I'd be pushing the crap out of Brian Reynolds. Those are the two guys. But here's the thing is, Brian Reynolds, unfortunately, the dude doesn't have a personality. Like, I've met him. He's a very nice guy. He signed my kid's bat at Pirates Fest. You know, he was extremely nice. But, like, he's, if you go to interview him, it's just like, so, Brian, like, how, what did you work on, like, in this offseason? He's like, hitting, fielding. Like, he's just, do you know what I mean? He's just one of those guys that's, like, serious. He's a good ball player. But it's like, you don't, like, I don't know. Like, I think the MLB, like, they just have a hard time, like, marketing anybody, even if they're, like, you know, baseball's, one of the best players.
Baseball has never been a sport where every guy that's good has a great personality. Baseball's littered with guys that give one-word answers and are amazing ball players. There are Hall of Famers that barely spoke to the media, and they were Hall of Famers. It's up to you as a fan to start to recognize talent and stop falling for the videos. Because the Pirates are selling you a bad bill of goods right now by featuring Cole Tucker so much when he hasn't done anything. He hasn't done anything to suggest you that he's going to be great. We want him to do well. I want him to do well. You want him to do well. We'd all want him to do well. But if you're sitting around and you're married to every one of these prospects, you've absolutely lost your mind. Craig, I can't believe we turned an entire half-hour show into ripping apart Cole Tucker. It started by you saying that you didn't like him, and it ended with me basically finding every reason why you shouldn't have any faith in him. I hope he listens to this show, hits the batting cage, puts on a little bit more muscle, starts adding to his extra base hits, and proves us wrong. That's what I want, Craig. Cole?
That's exactly what I want.
Prove us wrong. But right now, all you've got is an Arizona Fall League in which you did about 20 games where you, like, excelled, and then an overreaching promotion that got you to the majors probably a little bit too early. And I'm hoping that the folks over in Pittsburgh, the new front office, the new people that Charrington's putting in place, are going to realize that's a mistake, because otherwise he's going to be one of these guys that slips through the cracks because the one organization moved him too quickly. The one group that was running the organization moved him too quickly. And when the new group came in, they just looked at him as, well, he didn't work out, and they just move on from him, which is a complete possibility. It'll be very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, because they're not married to him. They didn't draft him. They didn't develop him. They're not married to anybody on this team.
And what you have to understand right now is that the marketing department is not in tune yet with the general manager. Next year, after next offseason, you're going to start to see who they really care about, because you'll see some guys not show up in videos anymore. You'll see some guys not show up in the calendar anymore. You're going to get a real, because the general manager, he doesn't care what the PR department does right now. He's busy worrying about the team. But at some point, he'll sit down and be like, they're going to sit down in an office and be like, well, we think these guys are good. He'll be like, nah, those aren't the good guys. This guy over here is good. This guy here is going to make it. You could take those two guys off of this. That's what's going to happen. And you're going to start to see it. And Cole's got a lot of work to do. This is a 66-day, 60-game schedule that Cole Tucker needs to treat like that Arizona Fall League and shock the world. That's what he needs to do. He needs to do that. And then he needs to build on it for 2021.
Yeah, and if he does it, I'll be happy as hell, man. I'm like I said, it's not, I'm just, I have been like looking at it like, because we're all fans.
Right.
And this is a fan podcast. But in my eyes, you also have to like open your eyes and say, what are the guy's numbers? What is he actually doing? Like, believe me, when I go back and like everybody would say, like, who's your favorite like Pirates? I pick out like the most random guys in the world because I thought they were funny. But when I look at those are the guys that were on the team for like maybe a year, year and a half, and then were gone.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And they were just like that funny personality and whatever. But for the most part, like the guy, you just have to start, you got to start looking with like your, I don't know what kind of brain, like the analytical side, I always say, and put that off my fan hat. I don't know, but I look at his numbers and I just can't make myself see it.
If Cole Tucker does amazing this year and it's after he listened to this show, will you, like, let's say he hits 300 during this stretch with an OPS over 800 at the majors and establishes himself at shortstop, will you allow him to punch you in the face at the end of the season?
Absolutely.
Excellent. All right, we've got it on record. Somebody tell Cole. This is Bucks in the Basement, the podcast for fans, by fans, all Bucks from a basement. We will see you next week. Found everywhere podcasts can be found, and always at bucksinthebasement.com. Bye-bye, everybody.
Now I see the changes in this town. They change, they say one thing, but then the next day. this way.